So here's the scoop. I sent out an email and I said, you know, hey, everybody, see you on Sabbath, wherever. The sermon's going to be out of this world, literally and figuratively. And what I meant by that is, well, I guess I'll start with saying that I don't know if you know that in the 1800s, the 19th century, there was a widespread belief that there was life on other planets. Like, it's weird to think about, but like the Little House on the Prairie days, people believe more in men living on other planets than they do today.
Really?
This was like widespread. And the reason it was so widespread was because people didn't have the technology to understand the telescopes and the spacecraft that, no, Mars has nobody on it. No, Venus is unpopulated. No, the moon doesn't have men living in it. It was so widespread and so universally accepted that there was life on other planets that the very first movie ever made, the very first film that ever was screened in mass was a movie that was about people building a ship that flies to the moon where they meet all the moon men. You can find this online. It's kind of an interesting film. It's a kind of artsy, but a silent film. Very first film ever credited being an actual film made was about people taking a ship to the moon to meet all the moon men that live there. So a funny thing happened though. Technology has increased and we've got radar telescopes and we've got spacecraft and they're beaming everything everywhere. And we're talking as far as other galaxies, and there's not a sign, not a peep, not a sound, not a nothing of anything. Regardless of that fact, and whatever that means or doesn't mean, the fact of the matter is that we know that we are humans, and we know our home is this earth. Or is it? Because as Christians, the question, the thought, the statement, whatever, it could be a question, it could be a statement, but I'll make it a statement. I think as Christians, we should be out of this world. You know, we live here on Earth. We don't live on the moon. We don't live in Saturn. It's not possible. But we live in a world, but I think the Bible, if we examine it, kind of takes us in another direction of how we should view our home, which is this world. So let me start by this. We're going to focus on Christianity itself, okay? Not human beings, but Christians, because we should be different than the average human. There should be something about us that when people meet us, they're like, there's something different about them. There's something, are they from another planet? Because they don't act like I act, or my buddies act, or my parents act. They act differently. Now, when we talk about a church setting, let's start at the very beginning, since we're talking about Christianity, because when we think about Christian fellowship, we think about how do Christians behave, we start looking at the church right away. That's the first place a lot of our minds go to. Not individually how we act, but as a church body, how do we act? Well, let's start with things that shouldn't matter to us so much, as far as things about us that would make us fit in to how the world behaves and not fit in how the world behaves. Because there's things that we'll dive into. We're gonna dive into a lot of scripture, and I'll just read it for the sake of time. But we're gonna dive into a lot of scripture that gives us a good picture of what all this means in terms of our understanding as being Christians, us being like the world or not like the world, even though we live in the world. But in the church setting, how many times do we focus on things that don't actually matter? So let's clarify a couple things that don't matter. As Christians, I'll tell you right now, it does not matter how you dress, how we dress, how I dress. Because here's the funny thing. When you go to any church, first of all, you're going to see people dress nicely, which I am completely for. I shop at Walmart for my clothes because that's what I can afford. And so I come to church wearing Walmart clothes, and if I hit the jackpot and money falls from the sky, however it's going to work, I might go to JCPenney and splurge, right? But the fact of the matter is that if a person dresses way nicer than I could ever imagine dressing, I think that's awesome. If somebody dresses in what we would consider not the nicest garb, it makes me no difference. Now, when I say me, I'm not saying I've just decided. I'm saying I don't think the Lord really cares. And the reason I say that is because you can't judge a person by how they dress. Now, if they're dressed obscenely, provocatively, they've got a shirt that says, "I love Satan," I think that might give us an idea that what's going on. But in general, as Christians, we say to ourselves, don't be like the world. Don't behave like the world. Well, behavior and dress are loosely tied together, but honestly, let's be honest. When Jesus was on earth, to equate it to something, he would have been wearing the lowest level of clothing you could have. He'd be wearing not just jeans and a t-shirt. They probably had holes in them. I don't know that he had opportunity to wash it that often. I know he didn't have a whole lot of money. So let's just be honest here. If Jesus, God in the flesh himself, wasn't concerned about what people were wearing, should we as a church be concerned? And I don't think we have a problem in this church at all with that. I'm just saying, like, I just want to start at the top and like, that's not one thing that matters. Okay? So let's talk about what does matter. Okay? Because what does matter is clearly stated in the Bible. And there's so many verses, I didn't have time to get them all in here and to give them to you. But let me start and get as many as I can in the time that we have. I'm going to read them for the sake of time because there's so many. But the first one is in John chapter 17, verse 14 through 16. Here's what it says. Once again, we're focusing on Christians being out of this world. "I have given them your word." This is Jesus speaking. "And the world hated them because they are not from the world, just as I am not from the world. I am not requesting," he's talking to God the Father, "that you should take them from the world, but in order that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not from this world, just as I am not from the world." A couple things in that group of verses, Jesus speaking. First of all, he's saying to God in this, okay, first of all, the world hates them because I've given them your word. So right now, we know as Christians, if we have God's word and we live by it, the world's going to hate us. Be prepared. So if the world's hating you for following God's word, you're on the right track. Period. Secondly, he talks in here when he's referring to his believers, his followers in the world, he's asking God that he should keep them, his believers, his followers, from the evil one. Now, why is he saying that? Why? Who rules the world? Lucifer. Lucifer, Satan, the evil one, the adversary, the slanderer. However you want to say it, this is his domain. So we go to some other verses that even express this deeper. John 16, 11, and this is saying, it's kind of starting in mid-sentence, but "and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." This verse, even though it's just a segment of a statement, is saying, listen, the ruler of this world has been judged by me coming here. Who's the ruler? He's talking about Satan. John 12, 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast outside." Once again, he's referring to him being here, the ruler being Satan, and him being cast outside because of what Jesus was going to do. Okay? Now, on one hand, you have Jesus clearly stating already in just the couple of verses we read that A, that the world's going to hate you for following him, and B, the ruler of this world is Satan himself. So right there, you got on one hand, okay, if I do the right things, the world's going to hate me, plus Satan is the king. Okay, so should we really be of this world as Christians, or should we be out of this world? John 15, chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me first. Then you," so he's saying they hated me first, "then you. If you were from the world would have loved its own. But because you are not from the world, but I chose you out of the world is hating you because of this." John 8, chapter 8, verses 23 to 24. This is a completely different conversation, a completely different happening, but still, it's important to understand. "Therefore, the Jews were saying, will he kill himself because he says, where I am proceeding away to, you are not able to come? And he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. Therefore I said to you that you will be dying in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, I love that. Because they all know what he meant when he says I am. He was saying he was God. If you do not believe that I am, you will be dying in your sins. So two completely different things being said here. Once again, Jesus reiterating that the world hates you, but they hate you because of me. They hated me first. They hated God first. They hate me in the flesh first. But if they hate me and you're following me, they are going to hate you. So once again, reiterating the world's going to hate you if you follow them. Then this other, you know, conversation that's going on here in chapter 8, verse 22 through 24. Basically, he's pointing out that as a man in this world, Jesus himself, he's not of this world. And what do we call Jesus? We call him the Son of God. Well, we're children of God in a different sense, but in some ways a similar sense. And Jesus is saying that basically the people, the Pharisees, all these people that are pushing back against me, they're of this world. And that's why they don't get it. That's why they don't get me. They don't understand me. Once again, reiterating, the closer you are to the world, and the Pharisees were religious. This is not about playing religion. The more religious I am, the closer I am away from the world. Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Who did he have the biggest beef with? The religious Pharisees. And he was calling them out for basically being in the world. You are of this world. I am not. We continue on in 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, you are from God, my little children, and overcame them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, because of this they speak as from the world, and the world hears them. We are from God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not from God does not hear us. We know from this the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. In that verse, stating that ultimately we are not from this world, because God overcame this world that's ruled by Satan, this world of sin, and that people who speak that are from the world, people who engulf themselves in the world and the customs and the traditions and how it all works, right? Then other people in the world, they hear them. They listen to them. It's like, you know, the blind leading the blind in another sermon, right? But people who are truly outside of this world, and I think all Christians, is being clear, should be outside of this world, the world's not going to hear you. They're not going to get it. They're not going to listen. But we can't get frustrated. We need to use that as a barometer of, per se, to know we're on the right track. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, therefore, brethren, I am encouraging you through the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical, divine service. I like that. And not to fashion yourself to this age. Now, the word age is the more accurate word, but most transitions have that as the world, because it's talking about the age of this world pre-Jesus coming back and ending sin. So it says, and do not fashion yourself to this age or this world, but to be transfigured by the renewal of your mind, that you may be proving in you what is the will of God, the good, well-pleasing, and mature. James 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wills to be a friend of the world is designated as the enemy of God. Like, holy moly. Like, that's hanging, they designated. If you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So as Christians, when we walk into a room, if somebody's like looking at your dress, like that's not how they figure it out, right? Like what you're wearing. But they look at your behavior. They look at what you say and what you do in the whole package. It should be out of this world. And I'm not saying you. I'm saying me. I'm saying anybody that believes in Jesus and follows Jesus. There should be no mistaking when we interact with other human beings that we are not of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things which are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's powerful right there. Because everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the self-importance of life, are not from the Father, but are from the world. And the world is passing away in its lust. But he who is practicing the will of God abides forever, or lives forever. Huge distinction between normal, everyday, worldly society, even in the church, not just outside the church, but in the church as well, in contrast to people who are followers of Jesus, in what life will be like for them. Because it says here that the lust of the flesh and of the eyes, things that we want, things that we feel, things that we see, and the self-importance of life are not from God, but are from the world. And if you look around at the world, that's what it turns into be, self-importance. I feel this. I want this. Give me. It's mine. I'll take. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom was from this world, then my attendants would fight in order that I might not be given up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Even when Jesus was on earth and threatened with death, he's like, listen, I'm not from this world. And he's making statements throughout the entire Bible that as his followers, we're not of this world either. Okay. Let's sum this up real short and sweet. How then do we overcome the world? Okay? Well, actually, the answer is very simple, but let me read you a couple verses that highlight it, because it's God's words, not mine. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born from God, and everyone who loves the one who fathered us also loves the one who has been born from him. I mean, if you love God the Father, you love Jesus, and vice versa. We know in this that we love the children of God whenever we love God and where we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, in order that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Because everyone who has been born from God is overcoming the world. And this is the victory, our faith, that overcame the world. 1 John chapter 5, 18 and 19. We know that everyone who has ever been born from God is not sinning. But he who is born from God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lays in the evil one. So what is this saying? How do we overcome the world? How as Christians do we act and behave and say and do in a way that makes people think, man, where are they from? What's up with this person? Believe in Jesus. But I'm telling you, further study, you'll realize this more and more. The belief in Jesus in the original Greek more is leaning towards a belief as in following. Not as in, I believe you exist. Jesus even said, hey, the demons believe I exist. He said that. Like, they even know who I am. They know I'm the Son of God. It's more than just saying, hey, all right, yeah, I know you're real, but see ya. It's a following. Love God. Okay? To overcome the world, you must love God. You must love the children of God, which is other people. Because if you love God, you follow Jesus, you love others, how much different are you already from actual almost everybody you know? I'm not saying we consider ourselves better. I'm saying this is the goal of all humanity should be, especially Christians. The other one points out, keep God's commandments. So if you're following, believing, putting your faith, your trust, your relationship with Jesus Christ, you love God, you love the children of God, and you keep his commandments, right there is a simple, short, sweet blueprint for people to think, man, what is wrong with you? You are weird. You know what? That weirdness factor, that thinking, are you from Mars? Are you from Venus? Are you from Jupiter? Where are you from? That's going to plant seeds, because one day they're going to think, wow, that person that I thought was so weird, they got more for out than I realized. I want to be like them. And if they want to be like you and you're like Christ, what's going to happen?